Adventist World Radio. From broadcast to baptism. Powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon to you, Elder Lloyd.
Good afternoon. How are you? How are you, sir, and the listeners at home?
We well, thank you, sir. How are you doing?
I am doing very well. Thank you for asking.
Lovely. Thank you so much for joining us one more time this afternoon. Now, like the 10 virgins in Jesus' parable, we must be prepared for the bridegroom's coming. We are all sinners and need him. It's through Jesus Christ alone that we may enter the wedding feast that is heaven. But let's talk about that great day and how can we prepare for it in the here and now. What, my elder, what will happen when Christ comes again? Describe those events surrounding the second coming, please.
So what we are told, what the Bible tells us is that the dead in Christ will rise. In fact, it says the dead in Christ will rise first. Mm. The living righteous will be caught up with them in the clouds and meet Jesus. So basically, the wicked, however, are destroyed by the brightness of the glory of Christ. Mm. So like we said yesterday, this is not a secret event. If I may put it, it's a cosmic rescue mission that is happening here. Mm-hmm. So this is what happens. The dead in Christ, I mean, the dead in Christ, they rise first. This is the book of Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16. And they are caught together with the living. Now, we are told in the book of Revelation, chapter 20, that the living will then cry, but they will be destroyed. In Revelation chapter 20, they will be destroyed, and they did not live for the next 1,000 years.
So who's going to be crushed?
Who is going to be crushed? It is they that did not believe. It is the unbelievers. It is the unrighteous. It is the people that are not followers of Christ. These are the people that will be crushed, that will not make it to heaven. Some of the dead that, or should I say the dead that are unrighteous, will not wake up, will not be resurrected. It is only the dead in Christ that are going to be resurrected on that particular second coming.
Now, when you say that they're going to be crushed, you meaning that they're going to be killed?
Yes, yes.
I see. Now, is there anything that we can do that will hasten or delay his coming?
I think we cannot delay God's timetable, but we can help hasten it. I think it's 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 12, which says, we look and hasten his coming. How? By sharing the gospel, by reflecting on Christ's character, and by finishing the mission that he gave us. So when the gospel reaches the whole world, then the end will come. So it is how we can hasten it is by basically reaching out to the ends of the earth. That is our mission.
So are we then not delaying it by not proclaiming the good news?
Definitely, I wouldn't say we are delaying it, because the Bible says, in fact, maybe let me express it in a particular way. Mm-hmm. You remember when Elijah says, I am the only prophet that is left. Mm. And God says, there is about 7,000 that have never bowed to Baal. Mm. So we may think that maybe me as an individual is delaying it, but the honest truth of the matter is there is someone out there who is preaching, who is loyal to God. So you may think, I may think as an individual, if I don't do it, I may delay it, but the honest truth is if I'm not playing my part, someone else is playing their part. So there is no way we can delay, because there is quite a number of people that are actually faithful to God, even in our unfaithfulness. Some of us who are unfaithful, God is still faithful. I mean, there are people who are still faithful to God. And he says, if you do not do it, I'll raise up rocks to proclaim. So there is no way we can delay it, but there is a way we can hasten it.
Mm-mm-mm. Because I'm thinking here, would the coming of Christ not have occurred already had we also all played our part, and that the gospel was through to the ends of the earth?
That, in a way, that is true. In a way, it is true, but it is also not true. Let me explain it this way. It is true in the sense that if we all played our part, it means that if we all played our part, it would have been it would have been easier. It would have been faster. Yes, but it is not true in the sense that we worship a God, an all-knowing God, who is infinite in wisdom. So he knows the beginning from the end. In fact, his name is Yahweh, which means he who was, he who is, and he who is to become. So he has got the entire view. So if so whatever that we are doing right now, it has already played. So there is no way we can delay God in a way. There's a way we can hasten, but there's no way we can delay. There's no way we can delay. But if we had played our part, all of us, we would have hastened it.
Mm. All right. Now, how should the knowledge of Christ's return impact the way we live our lives today?
You know, I love this because when I speak to the youth, that's exactly how I use. This is the language that I use. When there is a date that you are going to, you prepare. You want to look nice. You want to smell nice. You want to you want to make sure that when you meet the other person, there is that particular spark. So, as we are waiting, I mean, the knowledge of Christ and his return, how it should impact us. It should impact us in the way in which we talk, in the way in which we dress, in the way in which we eat. So everything should reflect towards that. So it will change everything. So knowing that Christ is coming makes us live in urgency and in purpose. We will value eternal things more than temporary pleasures. You know, going back to the date issue, the idea of going on a date, you become anxious when you are late, when you are a minute late. So you want to make sure that you are on time. So that means that we will forgive quicker, we will serve faithfully, and we will also witness boldly. You know, one of the things that makes us a bit calm is, sometimes we believe, but we do not believe. So our witnessing is not bold. So in short, the second coming makes us live like citizens of heaven while we're here on earth.
Yeah, indeed. Now, in terms of readiness, I think you've touched on this. Now, how if I was ready yesterday for the coming of the Messiah, will I always be ready?
Yeah, I'm glad you're asking that question, because one of the things, maybe let me answer it in this way. One of the things that we automatically associate with Christianity is hell. We associate Christianity with hell indirectly, because most of us, if there was no hell, we wouldn't be Christians. We wouldn't be even going to church. Which is a challenge, because Christianity is not about fear of hell, but it's about a relationship. So if we are to be ready for Christ's coming, we need to have a relationship. It's not about fear, but it's about a relationship. So which means we must daily walk with Christ through prayer, through Bible study, through obedience, through surrender. You know, Jesus said in the book of Matthew chapter 24, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. So to be ready is to be in Christ on a daily basis. It is to be in Christ today, not tomorrow. So I cannot, if my repentance is genuine, I cannot be ready yesterday and not be ready today. My repentance then creates a relationship with God. My walk with God grows on a daily basis. It does not recline, it grows. And even if it does not mean that you do not sin, even if you sin, you are like the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews says, even though we sin, we've got a high priest. You know, you walk boldly because you know you've got a high priest. You go and you ask for. So basically, it's all about a relationship. It's more about a relationship than anything else.
So it's not a once saved, always saved.
It's not a once saved, always saved. It's a daily walk with Christ. And you know, when Paul speaks, he says, there are certain things that I count but rubbish because I now walk with Christ, that I used to like. But because I grow on a daily basis, I stop liking those things. And he says, for this reason, I die on a daily basis. So it's daily growth. So I can't be saved today and expect. In fact, let me quote Sister White. She says, the righteousness in which we are justified by is imparted, but the righteousness which we are sanctified by is imputed. The first is the title for heaven, and then the fitness for heaven. Yes, we are titled for heaven, but we need to be fit for heaven. Now, being fit is a daily basis process. This is where we get to die on a daily basis.
Yeah, Sister White, as the guest says, is a writer, a prolific writer, and a prophet who lived in the 18th century. My elder, we've got to mention that so that those who are joining us and who don't know who you're talking about, we should explain, but that it's actually Mrs. Ellen G. White. That's what. So if you need any of her books, just type those on Google and then it will pop up and then you can go through her work. Now, final thoughts and conclusion on this discussion?
My final thoughts and conclusion on this is that the second coming of Christ is a real event. It is a real event that we must prepare on a daily basis for. So I would like to say to each and every one of us, as we walk on a daily basis, let us keep in mind that Christ is coming again. We do not know the day nor the hour when he cometh. But what we do know is we need to have a relationship with Christ, and it is cultivated on a daily basis. So it is through that relationship that we are going to be saved. And someone else calls it, it's holy nepotism. You know, so we need to have that relationship on a daily basis because it is what will take us to heaven.
Beautiful stuff. Thank you so much for joining us. It's definitely a beautiful, beautiful conversation there. Well, my elder, we will be talking to you again sometime in the future. Thank you so much for this week.
Thank you so much. May God bless you and the listeners wherever they are, and happy preparation.
Happy preparation day to you too. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.